Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. Google Podcasts is going away, so we recommend if you're on Android, you try Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. If you're an Apple person, you can go to Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord, $2.99 per month. That's where you can communicate about the Heat with Heat fans and with us all day long. Get away from the clutter of Twitter. We've got 10 channels there. The link is right here in the description on the YouTube channel and the podcast feeds. Again, it's Off the Floor. That is our new Discord. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, an old sponsor that's come back, and we're glad that they have our friend Nelson and his team, Mobile C-Arm and Staffing Services. It's Mobile C-Arm and Staffing Services. You can find them at c-armandstaffing.com or give them a call at 561-891-9620. If you're in a medical office, you definitely need to know about Nelson and his team. They can rent the C-Arm standalone or rent the C-Arm with an X-ray tech. Check it out. They offer complete in-office procedures where they bring the C-Arm, the table, and everything else in addition to the X-ray tech to you. So check them out. Mobile C-Arm and Staffing. Again, check them out at c-armandstaffing.com or 561-891-9620. And now, today's special episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan Skolnick, Ethan J. Skolnick, I'm sorry, and Five Reasons Sports. And we got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. And our guest, and 10 years ago when I was in San Antonio, I did not believe that this day would actually ever come because at that point, Heat fans weren't too happy with him. We'll get into that a little bit as we go forward, but we're very pleased to have Patty Mills joining us, a long distinguished NBA and international career. We'll talk about that a little bit here as well as we go forward. Pat, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's start here before we get into all the San Antonio stuff and then pivot into the Heat stuff. I used to watch Australian rules football on my TV when I was a wee youngin', which was a long, long time ago. It's all that ESPN used to show, like Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings and all that. And going back in your background, you actually played it growing up, right? Like what could you explain the rules of that first before we start? And then why did you switch to basketball full time?
Jeez, mate, we might need a whole episode if I was to describe all the, and explain all the rules of AFL. But basically, Australian rules football. I think every young boy and girl grows up in Australia, you know, kicking a footy and wanting to play that sport. So, yeah, I played it, mate. It's played on a round oval. It's very skillful. You're running, you know, a lot of miles. It's the only sport that you can get hit on a 360 degree radius, and it be legal. So a very rough sport, no pads or helmets involved. The way to score is to kick the ball through a set of posts for 6 points, which is called a goal. And then you got the umpire doing the pointed fingers with white flags, but a very skillful and tough sport at the same time. And I think growing up playing that sport has definitely helped in some way of taking hits and being able to deliver hits and getting back up and playing. So, yeah.
Why did you make the switch to basketball full time? Because it looks at some point during your youth, you decided to go that direction.
Yeah, look, I think basketball was, you know, was always going to be the one, looking back at it. But like I said, I was an only child and you know, had the opportunity to play a lot of different sports. And you know, Australian footy, just as well as rugby and rugby league, cross country, track and field, all these sports, I think, played a part in, you know, the basketball player that I was able to become and where I'm at today. So what made the switch at the end of the day, I think, was just, you know, the love of basketball and being able to, you know, be a worldly game. And that's the thing that I'm most grateful at the end of the day for what basketball has brought me, is the ability to travel around the world and obviously have a career on the other side of the world from where I grew up from. You know, versus Australian rules football is all in Australia, which is great as well, but just another dynamic.
Why do you think your game has been suited so well to international competition? Because I was watching the other night, and you're out there. Fournier was out there, and obviously he's had a lot of success playing for the French team. And you know, I was talking to Tim Reynolds, who covers the Heat, but has also covered a lot of international ball. And you know, he's like, you're a top five guy internationally over the past like 10, 15 years. What is it about your game that has been so well suited to that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I don't think I've figured it out just yet. I just enjoy the opportunity whenever I got to play for my country and put those, you know, put those Australian colours on. And I don't know, mate, it's something about, for me, especially being able to dive deeper into, you know, the motives and values and meanings behind, you know, what it truly means to represent your country on an international stage at a World Cup, and especially at an Olympic Games. You know, there's some deep-rooted things there whenever anyone gets the chance to do so. But, you know, I was just having this conversation the other day that, you know, the game of FIBA, as well as the game that's being played now in the NBA, is slowly, you know, coming further and further apart. And I think that the FIBA game, the way that it's played, the way that it's reffed, you know, less spacing, more physical. I don't know, there's just crafty ways there that you got to figure out. And I think the teams that do are the teams that play really well together, able to defend in transition, in half court, and then able to find ways to be able to counter that on the other end of the floor. So very crafted. You see basketball IQ start to come out, you know, with the best teams at that FIBA level.
All right, I'm going to let Alex deep dive with you on some basketball stuff here, but I sent him today what your numbers were in the 2014 finals. Because what did you say to me, Alex? It felt like he made 100 out of 100. Is that right, from three?
No, yeah, you had mentioned the shooting numbers in that finals, and I'm like, and they were really good. But I was surprised because in my memory, it was 1,000 for 1,000 or so. So, like, you fans, I think they still see you when they close their eyes and like try not to think about you before going to sleep. Because man, that finals was just something else, man. It felt like, you know, the Spurs didn't miss a three as a collective.
13 of 23, I think, were the actual numbers, Patty. I mean, covering that finals, it almost seemed like you guys kind of perfected basketball for that short stretch of time in terms of the ball movement, the body movement. Like, there was nothing really. We can talk about the air conditioning. We maybe get into that at some point. But even with that, I think most Heat fans were like, we probably wouldn't have beaten them anyway. Even without that entire experience, what was that like? Because you didn't play a lot. I was actually surprised looking back. You didn't play a lot in the 13 finals. I Corey Joseph got a lot of those minutes. I think you got into a couple of games, but then you were the fifth leading scorer in that finals. You in the 2014 finals again made 13 of 23 threes, and like Alex said, it did feel like you made about 101 game. What was it about that group? Because it seems like teams are trying to get to that level. Very few do.
Yeah, it's funny, mate, and I think the further on I go in my career, the more I realize just how, you know, fortunate and special that group was. And it's one of those things that I think you search for as an individual, you search for as a team, to be able to have a well-oiled machine like that in any team environment. And it just so happened that, you know, it was, you know, things clicked and things happened at the right moment. And for us, it was the way that we're able to defend, and then obviously the way that triggered our offense and the ball being able to move and, you know, feeding off that, you know, the ball just pinged around, you know, we shot open shots, you know, easy dump offs, you know, layups at the rim, open threes. And it was always about, you know, shooting a great shot, you know, good to great is what we always called it. You know, if you had a good shot, but someone else has a great shot, whether it's an open three or whether it's a layup, you know, they're the one that gets it. But like I said, that dynamic of that team and how it worked, it was one of those things in any sporting environment where things just clicked at the right time and for us to run away with it. But now that I'm finally a Heat, you know, I let a decade go in between, you know, that championship before I joined the Heat. So, you know, hopefully some scars had a chance to heal.
Oh, they're still there for sure. But what I wanted to ask you, I know it's been really early so far in your time with the Heat, but are there any noticeable similarities between the Heat organization and the Spurs organization, maybe the way they do things, anything that you've noticed? But more than that, I wanted to ask you about the way that you've gotten to interact with your teammates so far. Like, how has that been? And just this whole experience where you're all of a sudden now on a team that's, you know, trying to contend for a title. You had your stop there with the Hawks, and it's like you get thrown into the mix and into the rotation right away, getting significant minutes. Like, how has this whole experience been with you?
Yeah, mate, the experience has been unbelievable, to be honest. I'm very grateful, you know, for this opportunity to be a part of this this culture, this organization that obviously has been around for so long. And to answer your question about the similarities, yeah, mate, you know, it's one of those places that, you know, has such a strong foundation that's been built over many, many years. Probably blood, sweat, and tears that's been poured into this organization to be where it's at. So to have the opportunity just to walk in the locker room and be in a winning environment, be in an environment where, you know, there's a ship that's being steered by you know, someone, and everyone finds their way to be a part, and what their role is to be a part. You know, of this ship that's going in one direction, and that's to be the last team standing. And, you know, I think, you know, when you set out on this journey as a professional athlete, that's, you know, what you want to be a part of. You want to be a part of something bigger that's wanting to achieve the very best. And I feel that at home in this environment, you know, just knowing that I have an impact, I have a part to play in what will hopefully be another NBA championship here in Miami. So, again, it's similarities that I'm you know, have found in San Antonio that has built me, I guess, for these moments, and just making the most of it. But my time already in such a short period of time has felt so comfortable that it actually feels like I've been here longer than what I actually have. The team's been great. The coaching staff has been great. The staff has been great. The whole organization has been great. And, you know, walking into the arena the first time and, you know, having the interactions with some security guards and other fans, you know, and I think there is that history that I have with those fans from 2014. But at the end of the day, I'm just, you know, really fortunate to be in this environment. And I think I have a lot to give, you know, to this team and to this organization, you know, that I'm hoping that will pay off in the long run.
Patty, a lot of people don't think about the off the court stuff. We had DeLon Wright on right after he got his buyout and came to Miami. He was talking about his adjustment. He actually had some history with the Heat organization because of his brother and having been around them quite a bit. But take us off the floor. So you get the buyout. Honestly, we didn't see it, this one coming. We at that point, okay? Because again, we didn't know what Josh's situation was going to be going forward. And we thought, okay, they got the buyout with DeLon, and that was going to be it. And so then all of a sudden, wait a second. Okay, they're signing. You know, we get the Woj bomb, I guess it was, or one of those. And all of a sudden, you're coming. Like, what is that process like for you? Like, you find a place. Like, I mean, then you got thrown back out on the road right afterwards. Like, just what's the human element of this for you trying to adjust to a team on the fly?
Yeah, it's a great question, I think. And it's the part that probably not a lot of people see within the, you know, the glitz and glam of this environment, but there definitely is a human aspect of it. But yeah, there's definitely uncertainty there, and then you get thrown into the mix and then a straight on the road, and you know, this part of being able to learn a whole new language, a whole new system, a whole new dynamic. You know, being in a hotel, you know, trying to work out, you know, ways to or where to live and what's going to happen from now until the end of the season. There's definitely all those human aspects. But I think you learn at a very young age or a very young career that this is what professional sports, this is what a professional athlete has got to deal with on a regular basis. These are the adversities that, you know, you commit to at a beginning of your career, and they can't be excuses at the end of the day. This is what it is. You're going to need to adjust on the fly and get thrown in there and away you go. So yeah, although there is the human aspects, I think as a professional athlete that's been doing this for quite some time now, it's just another day at the office, and you go ahead and try to do your best, you know, job to stay ready and be ready for when your name gets called to do your job. And that's what it is.
So Patty, we'll get to Spo in a second here. But before we do, your best pop story.
Geez, my best pop story. This is another one of those podcasts that I think we'll need to have a whole one dedicated.
You
to
can come back. We're here every day, so that's fine. We'll create a regular segment for you.
Nah, mate, you can imagine how many there are over a whole decade. You know, when being under him for such a long time at an important part of my career as well, and not only career, but my growing up, I guess you should say, you know, I obviously come from the other side of the world. Here I am being, you know, implanted in San Antonio, Texas, in this organization and culture of the Spurs. And I think, you know, there isn't one in particular story that I would put my finger that would describe what I'm about to say, but I guess when you're in his locker room, the genuine care that he has for his players, and I guess the care that he has to make you understand or put basketball in perspective of, you know, the world, that it's only just basketball at the end of the day, and for his players to understand that with current knowledge, worldly knowledge, is something that I don't think a lot of other coaches do. But I would say that the first day that we got in to the practice facility of the 2014 NBA Finals, we've just had a couple of days off. We're coming into the locker room, into the film room, and you know, we're set to have our first meeting, you know, to prepare for the Miami Heat. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth and that pops up onto the TV screen is a story about Eddie Marber. And for those that, you know, that don't know who he is, he's a very significant Australian icon in Australia, and it had a lot to do with my background and the connection of my culture back there. And it was just one of those examples where here we are, you know, getting ready for another NBA Finals against the Miami Heat. And he managed to be able to, you know, just put it into perspective of what this really is. You know, yeah, we're going to go out there and prepare and fight to win another NBA championship. But here are all these things that, you know, are really going on in the world that really matter. And for us as a team to understand that as well. So I remember my, you know, it was like a big rock got in my throat and trying to swallow it. And just a real mind-blowing moment for me that I'll never forget. Yeah, that's probably one of my best ones or most appropriate ones for this, I'd say.
All right, appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of basketball and Patty's fit with the Heat, where he'd like to see this season go. Before we do, want to mention great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. This is Legal Sports Betting. You can find it at Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. You get $20 to play, or the code 5Reasons. That works as well. That's the number 5 with reasons. We currently have our brackets up, so check it out. It's free to enter. Free to enter the brackets. We'll have prizes for the top 3 spots. I won't ask where St. Mary's is this year. Check it out, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN and you'll get $20 to play. Check it out. We'll be posting it on the Twitter feed. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keeping in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Dion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly, so I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're gonna talk some hoops here as we go forward. Alex, you take it over.
All right, so a couple of questions. First, how has Jimmy been treating you? And second, as far
that's
as...
That's not a hoops question.
Yeah, that's not a hoops question. Just how has
I
it
feel
been
like we dealing... have to ask that to everybody who comes in here. That's it. How is Jimmy treating you?
Like,
go ahead.
Players' reactions to just like playing with Jimmy, and how has it been in general? And as far as on the floor, it feels like they've thrown you right into like the type of sets that they've run, like Duncan Robinson through for years, Wayne Ellington before that, and just kind of shooters, you know, Max Strus when he was here as well. You came in and you've been assigned to play that role right away. Obviously, you're not new to this. You still zip around the court, you know, really, really well out there. You're very active, I've noticed, on the defensive end and, you know, kind of trying to get into guys' bodies. How has it been just kind of getting inserted into this role right away, and what Spo has asked of you with kind of these weird circumstances with a good amount of guys out?
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess the first one on Jimmy, he's been great, mate, just to be able to, you know, witness what he's like as a professional, as a competitor, and being in the locker room and how high his basketball IQ is in understanding the game and seeing things literally unfold before they do. You know, I think that's going to be a dynamic that I'll be able to really tap into as this season goes on, and especially into the playoffs. Really eager for me to be able to, you know, continue to learn of things on how, you know, things operate and especially evolve on the court here. But yeah, look, this it's a great question because, as I said before, I think being in San Antonio for so long in a weird way, I feel like has really built me to be able to cope with this situation really well, I believe. And I think the first thing that I really wanted to do was just really get a grasp of the system and understand how it works, and understanding the terminology. It is a different language, a new language. What I didn't want was for me to be a dead weight, you know, a dragging weight, where this team's trying to make a very strong playoff push by the end of the season, and for me to still continue to learn things as we're going, you know. So I just wanted to learn as much as I could, as quickly as I could, and make an impact in any way on the floor. And surprisingly enough, it's been, you know, I think quite a smooth transition from that point, and just understanding the game and feeding off other guys as well. You know, you always talk about these, you know, ability to be able to adjust on the fly as a professional. And I think you do that by controlling what you can, and the things that you mentioned, you know, the offensive end, the defensive end, especially where you can, you know, put your fingerprints on the game. And then the other things will come, I believe. You know, I've always prided myself on how I can make a positive impact, you know, on the game, on the team, and then everything else can kind of evolve from that. But at the end of the day, you know, there's definitely, you know, chips on my shoulder that I still play, you know, and that comes out of me for the most part. And then having that, you know, competitive attitude to want to win another championship and want to do your part extremely well for the betterment of the team, you know. So, look, there's, you know, however many more games left, and you know, you can see the teams, you can see the glimpses or patches of the team being really solid on the defensive end, and tighten up a few, you know, loose ends on the offensive side. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a clear vision here of what we're trying to do, and I believe, you know, guys buying into their role and their part of what it's got to take to get there at the end. And this ship is driven by obviously a very you know, a elite coach. You know, it's just belief at the end of the day of how we're going to get this thing done.
I want to ask you a more of a general NBA question before a couple more personal ones before we go forward. I was looking back at availability of players just 10 years ago. Okay, so back to 13, 14, and even the big three Heat teams, and everybody played 70-plus games. It just seemed like even Dwayne, who we'd be like, oh, is Dwayne going to play tonight? And Dwayne got up to, you know, 65, 70 games even in the – what has happened in the league? Like, honestly, because it just seems like every night it's okay. This, without getting into specifics of particular players, but it's just like every team, it's like I'm missing, and the Heat in particular, but almost every team, it's like we're missing three, we're missing four. We don't know when this guy's going to come back. Now they had to put in this rule of 65 games. I mean, I feel like an old guy now saying, oh, back in my day. But you've been in the league long enough now. Like, is this more coming from the teams that are more protective of the players? They don't want them to have sustained injuries. Is it coming from the agents? Is it coming from the players themselves? Why do you think we're seeing players not be as available as they were during, say, your prime?
Yeah, it's a great topic. And I think it's definitely one, you know, a discussion to have on, you know, what's better for the player, for sure. I think the availability of all the science that's available now has played a big part. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, what's the best for the player, and how do you keep the players on the floor as best as you can? and keeping them out for a certain period of time, does that make them available for more in the future, you know, where you can prevent, you know, long-term injuries? I think these are all questions that, you know, always surface to the level here, and what's the best way around it. But there's no question that, you know, back in your day, as you mentioned, that there's players that definitely, you know, do whatever it takes to be on the floor and to fight for your team. And I'm not saying that has completely gone away, but players also want to be on the floor when they're at their best, you know, 100%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's not 100%, then they feel like they can't give their all, you know. So I think there's a bit of that too. It all comes down to, look, when it matters and playoffs are here, you know, that's when everyone shows up and wants to give their best. So there's that as well. So I don't know what's right or what's wrong. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, what's better for the player, and if the player is healthy and is ready to give it at all. Yeah, I've always prided myself on being available and you know, doing whatever it takes to be out there on the floor and play my part. So that's what I know. Going back to the start of our chat about AFL and Australian mm-hmm. rules football, I think they're all things that have definitely prepared me for, you know, for life in the NBA.
Yeah, you definitely had to play through some things there. I mean, I ask you in part because Pop was one of those who, you know, did some load managing from time to time, and then the Heat never did it, or they claim they didn't do it, and now we see them doing it more. So it seems more teams have moved towards sort of Pop's philosophy on it than maybe was the case 10 years ago. I do want to ask you, because we mentioned Pop and we mentioned Spo, and I just hear you talk in the way that you talk about the game, and I don't know when you have an intention to retire, but when you do, is coaching something that you want to get into?
It's a great question. Everyone always asks me about that. And look, I haven't ruled it out completely, but you know, it's something that I enjoy teaching and learning all the things that I've experienced in my career as a player and how I can, you know, help, you know, pass that on to younger guys that are trying to navigate this space as a professional. But who knows, mate? You know, I still feel like I got, you know, years left in me. We got the Olympics coming up, which will be my fifth Olympics in Paris, which I'm extremely excited for. But definitely, you know, a lot of years left to be able to pour it all out and keep going and until the wheels fall off, as they say.
I'm going to let Alex ask the last question, and this is why, because I've noticed that the two of you share something. Alex is known for using the phrase, and you noticed it, right? You noticed it. He uses the phrase a lot at the end of the day. That's kind of become his catchphrase, and you use the same phrase. So I'm going to let you guys, at the end of the podcast, at the end of the day, let Alex ask the final question. And Patty, we appreciate you joining us today.
No worries.
That's hilarious. That was definitely going through my mind for sure. But the last thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, you had a lot of time with Spo. I mean, Jesus, with Pop, and now you're with Spo. And Spo is out here, like, he's very much known for throwing out a lot of different types of defenses. Some opposing players, you hear them call it, like, junk defense. And I know that's been thrown out forever. And the Heat are obviously a team known for their kind of defense-first mentality. What has that been like, just kind of coming in? I know you mentioned having to learn the new language because guys have different names for plays and sets and all that, but as far as having to adjust to a lot of different coverages on the fly, like last night we saw a lot of zone, and that's another thing they're known for. What's that been like, and just in general, what it's been like overall for you dealing with this team and with Spo?
Yeah, well the understanding of a defensive system, and that it's five guys on the floor doing the job together to be able to stop the other team. At the end of the day, you're trying to stop them from putting the ball in the basket, as simple as that may be. And sometimes, you know, doing things that, you know, just throws the other team off rhythm and gets them into a funk, fuels us on the other end to run down the other side, you know. So I think the important thing here is team defense, and everyone understanding, everyone being on the same page in what's going on the defensive end of the floor. You know, this culture has been, you know, so strong with that over the years of you know, stopping teams and keeping teams, like we've, you know, the last however many games we've played now, we've kept teams in the 90s or low 100s. And it's definitely, you know, enough to be able to win games. So again, it's that part of now you're one part of a defensive system that you need to do really well for a team to stop the other team. So I know I'm going into a little bit of detail there, but at the end of the day, it's defense, it's effort plays, it's understanding, you know, positioning on the floor, but just play defense and leave it all out there. Hustle plays, loose balls, dive on the ball, you know, come up with the possession. All those things, I think, you know, it's all between the ears, as Pop used to say. And that's what it really comes down to on the defensive end. So, look, I've enjoyed every moment of being a Heat so far. I really, really have. I'm not only just saying that, but it's a part of being you know, that in that winning environment and having part of that, you know, DNA, what will it take? What will you do, you know, to sacrifice for the betterment of the team? And I think having that mindset, you know, is a championship winning mindset. And obviously the more guys that have that mindset, you know, on one team, you give yourself a definite chance. So, I'm loving learning, you know, continuing to learn more from Spo and how his, you know, mind works from a team aspect, and you know, looking forward to this last stretch of the season where every game, every possession matters, you know, and like I said, it's leaving everything out on the floor.
Well, when you figure out how Spo's mind works, I've been working on that for 30 years. So you can come back on the podcast anytime and share that with us. At the end of the day, that's a great way to end. Thank you again to Patty. We wish you the best of luck the rest of the season. Hopefully it's a long playoff run, because I know that's what you came here for. And we'll catch up with you at the arena when you're back in town. Thanks a lot for doing this. Appreciate it.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.